Chapter 8, verse 8 of the Bhagavad Gita.
The next verse is connected, is verse number 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasananya gamina paramam purusham devyam yati parthanu chintayan. Now here the Lord is introducing the topic of meditation, which he will do in the next few verses. Verse number 12, 13, 14, you know, they're all related to meditation. So he's introducing the topic of meditation and also how one can constantly remember the Lord and who is that Lord, what is his nature, which today, which we will briefly talk about. Next week, we will talk in more detail about the Lord's nature. So he says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Abhyasa yoga. Yoga here, you know, yoga has many meanings. So one is the yoga, the physical yoga. But here the yoga, what he's talking about is the dhyana yoga, the yoga of meditation. So also means that constantly meditating upon the Lord, not only in your meditation seat, but throughout the day, having that yoga of total abhyasa and constantly practicing that yoga, constantly applying. So the yoga also means that whatever knowledge I have acquired about the Lord, constantly practicing it. Abhyas means, that does not mean that we have heard this today and read the Bhagavad Gita. Then I go home and practice that knowledge. I apply that in my family. I apply that in my work. I apply that in my relationships. She says, one who has practiced this yoga, chetasa na anya gamina. Chetasa means the mind. Anya gamina means going elsewhere. Anya gamina. Na anya gamina means not going elsewhere. So the mind does not go anywhere except upon this knowledge, upon the Lord. Then what happens to such a person? Whom does he reach? Paramam purusham divyam. Paramam, the greatest purusham, the Lord. Resplendent, the great, resplendent, beautiful Lord. Purusha in our scriptures does not mean man. You know, one Hindi meaning in Sanskrit is Purusha. Here, Purusha and Prakriti are the two aspects of creation. Purusha is the spirit and Prakriti is the matter. And we are constitute of both. Whether you are a man or a woman, you have both Purusha and Prakriti within you. Purusha is the spirit, Prakriti is the matter. So we are a combination of spirit and matter. So he says that you reach that the Lord who is the Param Purusha, who is the highest Lord of the whole creation, and how he is Divyam, he is brilliant. Why do they call him Divyam? So, Swamiji in his commentary says, because it is his light that is illumining my mind and consciousness and my body and my hands and feet and eyes, and everything is illumined by that, the light of that consciousness. That's why he says he is brilliant. And yati, and he reaches whom? This Purush Divyam, this beautiful, resplendent, all-powerful Lord. Partha, Partha is Arjuna's name. O student, Partha, Anu Chintayan. Again he uses the word Anu. Anu means continuously. Chintayan means constantly remembering. When you constantly remember the Lord, when your mind is not going anywhere else, when you practice that, you apply that and you constantly practice, then you reach that Lord. There's a very beautiful story about such a saint whom in his life practiced it. And his life, whenever I have watched his movie and read about it, is so inspiring to me. This was Tukaram. He was a very ordinary person in Maharashtra, in India. He was a very, very ordinary person, very poor. But he was a great devotee of the Lord. He worshipped Vithala. You know, Vithala is a form of Vishnu, of Krishna. And he always worshipped him and always thought about him. In fact, he not only worshipped Lord, but he composed poems. They're called Abhangas. And in his life, he has composed several thousand of these poems. And they are in different books. And till today, in all the radio stations in Maharashtra, and the people listen to those Abhangas, those songs, like Mirabai, and listen to those songs and chant them and sing them and remember them. And these songs were not only full of love for the Lord, but some of them had a very profound message. Tremendous Vedantic knowledge. He was an ignorant person. He had no education, but spontaneously through love of the Lord, he came up with such beautiful Vedantic truths. It was unbelievable what he composed. It's not only devotion. There is tremendous knowledge. You can get the whole knowledge of the scriptures in that. So this person was very poor. And one day his wife told him, you know, you need to go out, get a job. All the day you sit here just singing about Vitthala. And his wife was very strong and she used to push him, you know, that you have to go work. Obviously, because he had wife and he had children, he was supposed to work. But he never did. He never liked to work. He just liked to think about the Lord and sing. So one day she pushed him, you have to go. So he goes and asks this farmer, do you have any work? And the farmer says, yeah, I have this work for you, but you have to, because the birds only come in the daytime. You know, at night they go to the nest, so go to sleep. So every day for the next 3 months, you have to come early in the morning before the birds come, stay here all day, take care of my fields and make sure not a single grain gets eaten. And then, you know, because scarecrows and all can only scare them for a while, but you have to make noise and you have to give them the drums. And then at night when the birds go away, to, you know, then you go and sleep. So you have to do that for 3 months until the harvest. Okay, that's an easy job. I can sit here and I can watch them. He said, what will my salary be? He said, well, I cannot pay you. In those days, they didn't have money. He said, okay, I'll give you 1/5 of all the grain. So all the grain that comes out, you'll get 1/5 and I'll keep 4/5 and that is your wages. Oh, he was very happy, you know. So he sat down and the farmer said, you know, I have to go on a trip and all. I'll be back in 3 months and then we'll harvest the grain. And until then, I'm leaving you responsible. He said, I'm the most responsible person. So he... So he goes and the farmer goes and this guy, you know, this guy, he was a great devotee of the Lord. So he started singing his abhangas. He started composing poems and he completely forgot. He went into that ecstasy, the dream, and he was in that and he forgot that what he was supposed to do. And the birds came and they ate all the grain. And at night he didn't even notice. He was in such a bliss. He went home. And then next morning he came and again he, you know, he never even paid any attention to the field. Why? Because he was thinking about the Lord constantly, day and night. And, you know, so this went on for 3 months and his wife said, are you going to work? Yeah, I'm doing a very good job. I'm watching the fields. And he was doing nothing. He was just, you know, singing the name of the Lord. And so finally the 3 months passed and the landowner came and he found all his grains were eaten up. Most of them were eaten. He said, oh my God, what have you done? You have destroyed my whole crop and this and that and get out of here and you are horrible and, you know, my whole year's earnings are gone. And he just cursed him out and this guy said, I'm sorry, you know, I guess I forgot. So, and he was very disappointed and he went home and this landlord was very angry. And then after a few days, he actually started harvesting the crop. And it is said that when he started harvesting the crop, the more he would harvest, the more would come out. The more would come out. And the earth was just yielding tremendous amounts of grain. He had actually 4 times what he used to get every year. And that land just kept on giving. And he was wondering, where is this grain coming from? And all his haystacks were full and his barns were full. And the grain still kept on coming. And then he said, it has to be that great, you know, Tukaram. So he calls him back, he apologizes and then gives him, of course, 1/5, you know, of what. So the idea is that, you know, and we might say, well, you know, does that mean that I should, you know, not do my duty and think about it? That's not the point. The point of the message of that is that one can remember the Lord constantly. And then the Lord in the Gita, he says it in the 13th chapter, he says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janav paryupasate. Tesham nitya bhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He says, one who constantly remembers him, then it becomes my duty to take care of him. Yoga, his yoga and his kshema. All his needs, then I fulfill. And that's what the Lord has given us the promise that if you do my work, if you do activities devoted to me, you don't have to worry. Guru Nanak in his Bani, you know, the Sikh guru, he says, in one place, he says it very beautifully. He says, that moss that is growing on the side of the river bank, you know, the moss that grows on the ponds and the pools, the Lord takes care of that moss too, right? They make sure the moss gets enough food and nutrition, and the moss grows and multiplies and fills the whole pond and lake. So when the moss can, when the Lord can take care of the moss, don't you think He will take care of you? You are human. You are the pride and, you know, the crown and of His creation, the human. So we are so worried, you know, if any, what will happen to me? Who will take care of my family? Who will I have to worry about my retirement? Not that we shouldn't worry, but my whole life should not be spent in just accumulating for my retirement and accumulating this. And because He is there to take care, and that is the message of this story, that the Lord is always available to serve us. That's what they say, the Lord becomes a servant for these saints. Because with their love, they force the Lord to come. You know, the Lord has no choice but to come and take care. And there are so many other examples. Maybe some next week I'll tell you another story about how the Lord Himself becomes a servant of these great saints. Why? Because with their love they can attract. That's what they say, no? Love can move mountains. And when you have that kind of love, the Lord has no choice but to reciprocate, but to come. So that is what He says, that anuchintayan, constantly remember me. And also anuchintayan also means that when you sit for meditation or you sit for prayer, at that moment your thinking should be anu, should be continuous. Even when we are thinking, sitting for meditation or for prayer, in our mind goes to our work or goes to our children or our, you know, job or, you know, food. Or at that moment it is my time with God. And so it is my private time. So when I am doing prayer or when I am meditating or when I am in the church or temple, I should be thinking about the Lord. So that is what He says. Constantly think about me. Constantly practice this teaching. Abhyasa. Apply this teaching in your life. And then you shall reach that splendid, beautiful Lord. And that's what these great saints, you know, it's very interesting that whether you read the description of any saint, but their final experience is the same. Whether he is a Christian saint or a Sufi saint or a Muslim saint or a Hindu saint or a Buddhist, the final experience is the one. They say they experience this great bliss and this joy and this light and, you know, all that. Because why? Because there is not a Hindu God and a Muslim God and a Buddhist. They are all one. And so the final experience is of that Param Purusha Divyam, that Supreme Lord who is resplendent, who is brilliant. And He says that you will reach, but you have to put the effort, and it has to be constant effort. So this is the second verse is kind of repetition, so I didn't spend too much time on it. But I thought I'd just share the story of Tukaram. Actually, there is a movie of Tukaram, which is in Marathi, but has English subtitles. And I watched that a couple of times, and it's beautiful, the movie. And his life, you should just Google on internet and read about Tukaram's life. It's very, very nice. Any of these saints, you know, Narsi Mehta, any of them, Mirabai. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Durga Bhavai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru.